We are joined right now by a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He's a Hall of Fame voter. He is co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. He is Therese Paylor. Therese, what's cracking? How you doing, man?
Thanks, Mac. Thanks for having me back on. How you doing, man?
Dude, good, good. Good to have you on, as always. All right, so lots to talk about coming off yesterday's games, but let me start with that Sunday night matchup. Great game last night. What kind of a statement did Arizona make in your mind when they came back the way they did and they beat Seattle in OT?
You know, we talked about this on our podcast. We prefaced it with the statement, if then. If Arizona can win this game against Seattle, we have to take them seriously as NFC West contenders. I really think it speaks to Kyler Murray and the presence of a mobile quarterback who's good and how he can change a team's fortunes. Remember, just a couple years ago, these guys were down in the dumps. Josh Rosen didn't work out. But Kyler Murray's completely changed the face of that team, and he makes them believe, just like these other mobile quarterbacks have, right? Patrick Mahomes, tortured history in Kansas City, makes them believe. Josh Allen, same kind of deal. Lamar Jackson, it really speaks to the power of the mobile quarterback and how they can change a team's fortune in this day and age.
We're talking to Therese Paylor. Speaking of mobile, you've been around this game a long time now. You're a Hall of Fame voter. You've seen a lot of football. So what was going through your mind when you saw DK Metcalf run down Buda Baker on that INT return?
I was like, you know what? I am so ready for somebody to compile the highlight tape one day of all of his defensive tackles after interceptions. It reminded me of Julio Jones. You know, because Julio's had some plays like that, and it's just like, oh, yeah, that's right. This guy is the best athlete on the field at all times. And moments like that really prove it. You know, he's a special player. And honestly, you know, again, I was talking about this on my podcast. He really kind of reminds me of Terrell Owens physically, just a giant guy who's really fast, freak athlete. And it's going to be really fun to watch him develop as a receiver as he continues to develop his route tree. But the route tree he has right now, basically the Ted Ginn route tree with the crossers and the deep ball and the comeback and the fade, it's good enough. He's a special player. It's going to be fun watching him develop.
That really was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Like I said, the guy was like a cyborg, man. When he had those fists pumping the way he was and he ran him down, I mean, we're talking about Buda Baker now. This guy can run. That's a player.
Oh,
he
yeah.
Not only did he not give up on that play, he did run him down. Therese Paylor was my guest. Amazing thing to see. What about the Steelers? They're 6-0 after they beat Tennessee. And as you did point out in your piece on Yahoo, it's the first time they've been 6-0 since 78. So how good are they? Are they Super Bowl good?
Yeah, I think you have to start looking at them as a potential Super Bowl contender, man. You know, at the end of the day, the last time they started this good was in 1978, and that's the best of their Super Bowl teams, the Steel Curtain teams. That was the best of them. And actually, it was a really good step from NFL stats and research. That was the fifth time on Sunday that two undefeated teams met in week seven or later. Well, the last four times, the previous four times, the team that won ended up going to the Super Bowl. So historically, this is a great precedent for the Steelers. And I'm going to tell you, Jim, they also passed the eye test, okay? Their defense is awesome. They can rush with just four, which is important to beating and playing with Kansas City. But if they need to dial it up with their blitz packages, they can, right? They can do that too. And also the offense with Ben Roethlisberger's come around. I know he threw three interceptions yesterday, but the fact they lost a turnover battle 3-0 to a team as well-coached as Tennessee and as good as Tennessee and still won the game really, really speaks to how good this team is. That's what really good teams do. I think Pittsburgh's a team to be reckoned with in this conference.
I think you're right. I think you make a very good point. The fact that they did lose that turnover battle and they still beat a good Tennessee team tells you a lot about them. Now, you mentioned Kansas City. They beat Denver yesterday. Looking at them, how do you like the fit of Le'Veon Bell in that offense? And overall, how do the Chiefs look to you right now?
I love it. I love the fit of Le'Veon Bell in this offense. I think he gives them some things from the running back position they were, quite frankly, missing a little bit. They've struggled in the red zone, running the football. Again, the Chiefs don't have a big, powerful offensive line that's going to knock you off the ball. That's why Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy scheme up some of the trick play stuff they do in the red zone, because they're just not going to line up and beat you up physically. But one thing that also helps there is having a big back with great vision. And Edwards-Helaire is a good back. He does some things Le'Veon can't do. For one, he's more elusive, for sure. And that's going to be very important going forward. But Le'Veon's size, he's 6'1", 225. Vision will help in the red zone. Also, he'll help in the passing game. He's a great outlet and screens. He can even run some routes from out of the backfield. And so he'll help in the screen game and in the passing game. But the biggest thing is pass protection, Jim. Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't do a ton of that last year at LSU, and it's an area he's still trying to develop. Le'Veon Bell is a really, really good pass protecting running back. So he really helps fill out an offense that's already really good. So I'm really excited to watch him develop. My hunch is he's going to get a lot of touches this week against the Jets. Overall, the Chiefs are where I thought they'd be. You know, they did have the loss to the Raiders, but you're not going to go through a season undefeated. You know, these are still the Super Bowl champs. They look really good. They're still working on developing their execution, because teams are going to make them go the length of the field offensively, because they don't want to get beat by the deep ball against Kansas City. So they're going to work on that. They'll keep working on that. And just as we all suspect, when January rolls around, they're going to be an incredibly difficult out in the playoffs.
Therese Paylor joining us, breaking down the NFL weekend. I've got to ask you about Dallas, right? They were 2-4 after that ugly loss at home to the Cardinals. Then they go out and they get hammered by Washington 25-3. Therese, like, how big of a mess is there in Dallas right now?
Yeah, you know, it's the problem is not just one problem. It's everything. So they're in the year from – this is the year from hell. The Cowboys are in the full-blown year from hell, and now we see how valuable Dak Prescott was, because he was keeping them competitive and in a lot of these games, despite the fact that they don't look well coached defensively. I mean, there were the game last week against Arizona, Jim, I review and take notes on every game. On the goal on that, Alden Smith, like, at the defensive tackle, it was like a three technique, and you'll never believe what happened. He got blown off the ball. You know, Alden Smith is a good player, but he's an edge rusher. You know, like, you know what's going to come. Like, you know where he should be. So that's just one instance. They've had issues with guys running to the football defensively, which is completely unacceptable. I already mentioned the injuries. But the worst thing was Andy Dalton got hurt yesterday on a dirty hit, and there was no street justice. There should have been retribution from the Cowboys, either immediately after play with someone going after that guy, or you don't even always have to do it after the play, because then you can get fined or whatever. Street justice in pro football can happen during the next few plays, all right? It's time to run the football. It's time to double that guy. It's time to get after him. Like, that's how you do it, okay? When Tristan Hill, for instance, did the gator roll on Chris Carson a few weeks ago against Seattle, guess what? The Seattle offensive line, I watched this, like, the next few plays, like, they were getting after that guy a little bit, and that's the most concerning thing. You've got the head coach point out that there was no retribution. They're not always playing hard. They don't look well coached defensively, and they're beat to hell. This is going to be a long year in Dallas, and it's hard to imagine that they're going to find a way out of it. Now, they could. Anything can happen in football, but I'm just saying, when a team is in hell like this in pro football, it is hard to dig out of it.
We're talking to Therese Paylor. I agree. The fact that they did nothing tells me. I mean, by the way, what does that tell you? Like, I mean, I understand that Dalton is not Dak Prescott, and maybe the reaction is different if it is Dak Prescott, but does that tell you they just don't give a damn? They've already given up?
I think, I'm always going to be careful not to criticize the intention of football, because I think they're all trying to do the right thing, you know? So here's what I will say. They deserve to be criticized for not standing up. I do think they've been playing poorly, and sometimes your mentality is just worrying about yourself, but that's not okay, Jim. I think it didn't happen because it was a young line and they were missing some of their guys. Like, Tyron Smith probably stands up, you know. Zach Martin stands up. Lyle Collins stands up, you know. They were missing some of the anchors with the established presence to maybe do that, but the problem is this is something you learn in high school. Like, you defend your guys, you know. And so there's not really a good excuse for it, which is why Mike McCarthy, in my opinion, stated it. But he did just bring more attention to it, which really doesn't help a situation where there's already a lot of talk about defensive players not feeling they're well coached and all that. So that's just more logs to the fire, which, I mean, you can almost blame McCarthy for that, too, because they got enough problems. You know, by him acknowledging that there wasn't a response, that's actually made it worse. So in a lot of different areas, Jim, the Cowboys are in a bad spot right now, and it will take a Herculean effort for them to dig out of it.
But not only that, but especially from the head coach who only a few days earlier said, hey, you know what? Let's man up and keep all of our issues in-house.
Right.
Let's keep it in-house.
Right.
All right, so one last thought. Therese, what about the Browns have their worst fears realized this morning when they find out that Odell Beckham is out with a torn ACL? How dramatic a loss is that for them? And then how do they go about dealing with his absence?
Yeah, you know what, Jim? Again, I take notes on every game. They're going to miss him because he's a dynamic threat, especially with the football in his hands, and defenses pay attention to him. But here's one thing they have going for them. The nature of the offense is run game centric, okay? The foundation of the Browns offense is based on the outside zone and play action off that. Now, they also do a lot of power stuff too, because they're actually really good at it. So it's a multiple run playbook and offense with the foundation of the run game, and they play action off that. The good news is, as long as your receivers are functional, you can still operate. And they have enough to be functional for sure. Jarvis Landry, Donovan Peoples-Jones caught the game-winning touchdown yesterday. I'm actually really high on him. I like him. Rashard Higgins looked good, okay? So I think they've got enough. I do. I really do. I think they've got enough. It's an offense that uses a bunch of tight ends anyway, so it's not like they're a team that's regularly in 4-wide or even 3. Like, they use a lot of 2 tight ends. So I think they're going to be able to weather it, but in some ways it's going to make them really drill down on what they're good at, which is pounding the football with their multiple zone game, their multiple power game, play action off that. But here's what this does mean, though. Because Odell Beckham Jr. is an established deep ball threat, they're going to need one of those other guys to at least be able to show they can take the top off the defense. And if one of these other guys can't do it, which they might be able to, I kind of like Higgins, they're going to have to trade for somebody that can do it, because that's an important part of that offense. That's an important part to making it work. Also, the defense needs to step up, because if they get behind, they're going to become a lot easier to defend now, because now they got to throw without their best receiver. So they got to drill down on playing good defense and running the football, and if they do those two things, the Browns are going to still be in position to potentially make the playoffs.
He is a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, Therese Paylor. My man, great job, dude. Appreciate it very much. Always good to have you on.
Anytime, Jim. Thank you for having me on.
Always good to have you, man. Always good to talk to you. Therese Paylor. Your thoughts on that? A lot of good information in a conversation like that. All right, so your phone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686.